Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Tonight, minority in Parliament reject Attorney General's settlement deal with the Unibank founder, Dr. Kwame Adufo, threatening to haul the AG to court over charges dropped.
We'll consider its options of proceeding to court to challenge its decision in its entirety.
We have details as the Attorney General defends his decision to drop the charges, insisting his comprehensive approach has resolved both the criminal and civil aspects of the case.
As Attorney General, I take absolute responsibility for all the decisions so far taken. I am not under any instructions or pressure to discontinue any case or to bring charges against anyone. Those who are in a haste to tag His Excellency the President of the Republic as a clearing agent should hasten slowly.
We have details of all of these and more here on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, connecting energies. We speak to people who really understand in this matter in the next 30 minutes. Well, tonight, the minority in Parliament has served notice it will proceed to court to challenge the decision of the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, to drop criminal charges against Unibank founder Kwame Adufo. The charges were dropped after the state recovered 60% of the amount, which is subject to the criminal trial. Now, the minister has been giving us a brief of how they intend to achieve that 60% of the amount. Today, the Attorney General has been defending his decision, insisting his comprehensive approach has resolved both the criminal and civil aspects of the case. Dr. Ayine explained that the decision followed a settlement offer received in March 2025 after negotiations, adding that under the agreed terms, assets worth 824 million cedis have already been handed over to the state. Additionally, a structured civil litigation pathway has been established to help recover a further 1.2 billion cedis. Listen to details.
At the time I assumed office and was approached by the lawyers for the accused persons, no asset tracing had been undertaken and no freezing orders had been obtained by my predecessors who filed the criminal charges. I could have been faced with a situation where the thief would have eaten four of the goats, thus leaving me with only one possibility, to recover only two goats. In other words, assets depreciate. Lastly, in respect of the case at hand, 100% recovery was not possible and a conviction was not guaranteed. In the circumstances, my team and I agreed to set a realistic threshold of 60% recovery. We recovered 824 million worth of assets, which will be handed over to the state, and established a structured pathway for recovering the additional 1.2 billion Ghana cedis through the civil, process. And these are monies that are being held by third parties that owed Unibank, including, for instance, and I think that this is very important, contractors owed Unibank at the time that it was placed in administration 2.9 billion Ghana cedis. Unibank made overtures to the state to say, look, the Minister of Finance, pay the contractors and let the contractors, because they will be paid through our bank, we can take the 2.9 billion and we can satisfy our books improve, and we can stay afloat as a bank. The then Minister of Finance flatly rejected that and with the help of the Bank of Ghana, put Unibank into the situation in which we find ourselves. All right? Our current finance minister could have put NIB through the same process. Right? But instead of using money to collapse a bank, the Honorable Atuforsen has used the money to revive it, for it to keep jobs, and then continue to operate in the banking sector.
But the minority will have none of that. Addressing journalists in Parliament, minority spokesperson on constitutional and legal affairs, Kwame Ayimadu, fired warning short. And he says minority will go to court if the decision is not reversed.
The Parliament of Ghana, particularly its Select Committee on Constitutional, Legal and Constitutional and Legal Affairs, to summon the Attorney General to answer these questions publicly. The Legal Counsel and Bar Association to investigate potential breaches of legal ethics and professional conduct. All patriotic Ghanaians to stand up against what appears to be the erosion of justice and the dangerous politicization of the prosecutorial process. Finally, may this press conference also serve as a formal notice to the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, that if his decision is not reversed within a reasonable time, the minority will consider its options of proceeding to court to challenge its decision in its entirety. Let it be known that justice must not only be done, but it must be manifestly seen to be done. Thank you.
Now, the minority went further to accuse the AG, Dr. Dominic Ayine, of a conflict of interest situation for his previous role as lawyer for Dr. Kwabena Dufour.
Has Dr. Dominic Akuritenga Ayine in the past acted for Dr. Kwabena Dufour and Unibank? In the case of the Republic versus Kwabena Dufour and seven others, is Dr. Ayine, now the Attorney General of the Republic of Ghana, the deputy referred to him as the Attorney General, and today he has granted a press conference acknowledging that he gave out the press release and he tries to justify why he entered the nolle prosequi. Ghanaians would want the Attorney General to explain to us in full the extent of conflict of interest using Dominic Ayine as defense counsel and Dominic Ayine as the Attorney General. This he failed in the press conference to tell Ghanaians that he had acted for Unibank and that he had acted for Dr. Kwabena Dufour. So I think he owes us, as a country, a duty to explain to us why and the extent of this conflict of interest.
So that's the minority spokesperson on constitutional and legal affairs, Kwame Ayimadu. Let me take you now to Parliament, where we're being joined by our parliamentary affairs correspondent, Kweku Asante, with more on this particular, you know, reaction by the minority. Kweku, the minority raised issue with the 60-40 policy. What did they say?
Well, according to the minority, while the Attorney General has announced that when it comes to these matters these days, the state will recover 60% of the amount involved, and if they do that, they consider it substantial. The minority say it appears no public policy is backing this program or this policy that has been undertaken by the Attorney General, and that it may appear very arbitrary because it hasn't come to Parliament and there's no law that they know about the AG to do that. Listen to Kwame Ayimadu on this matter.
The press release makes reference to 60% recovery threshold as a benchmark for reconsidering prosecutions. When was this policy introduced and under what legal authority? Was this benchmark made public or debated in Parliament? Was it quietly introduced post-2024 to lower the standards of accountability? For a case involving 5.7 billion, can the Attorney General confirm that 1 billion has indeed been recovered and provide documented proof of the recovery? It is strange that the Attorney General is insisting that the amount of 800 million cedis recovered from Dr. Dufour constitute 60%. How did the Attorney General review the amount from the 5.7 billion to 1.2 billion by a mere administrative fiat.
Well, Kweku, how about their concerns in transparency?
Yes, according to Kwame Anyamaduro Entry again, who is speaking on behalf of the minority, and we hear him there criticize the maths that has been done by the Attorney General and the amount that has been recovered, which the government says constitutes 60% in the entire transaction that is being discussed. Those who have real concerns about the transparency that's around this deal and what exactly they construe, because the Attorney General says he's being transparent by consistently speaking to this matter in the public, offering this explanation. The minority are not at all satisfied by the transparency levels that have been exhibited by the AG on this matter.
Transparency, as indicated in the press release, demands the learned Attorney General to explain to Ghanaians the principle of 60-40. Ladies and gentlemen of the press, once a nolle prosequi is entered by the Attorney General or the prosecution, we need not find out, and we don't need to find out questions. But he chooses to, if you read the press release, he chooses to justify why he had done that in the name of transparency. And that's why I say that transparency, as he had indicated in the press release, demands that he, the learned Attorney General, would explain to Ghanaians the principle of 60-40. If you're talking about 5.7 billion cedis and you tell us that you have retrieved 800,000 cedis, how can you say that that represents 60,000? And at any rate, is it a new policy directive, or when did this come into Ghana? When was this introduced into our criminal jurisprudence? What happens to the remaining 40%? To him, the Attorney General, today we heard him say that the 60-40, we can forget about the 40%.
So that is Ahmadu Enchi there. We'll be getting him on the line shortly so we can have an interaction with him. He is the minority spokesperson on constitutional and legal affairs, Kwame Anyimadu there. We'll be joining him shortly for an interaction. We'll also be speaking to an anti-graft campaigner on what they do as corruption fighters make of this particular decision by government. I mean, government says it will recover all loot. Is this one of the ways to recover? And if they are recovering, does the minority then have a case to say, rescind the decision or we will head to court? We'll be having them here on the show surely. But they also allege, that there is a conflict of interest there, because they say that Dr. Ayine served as a lawyer for Dr. Kwame Adufo some time ago on the same particular matter. We'll be getting all of those details here on the show for you. But if you look at the law, and you get into the Court Act 1993, Act 459, Section 35 talks about the offer of compensation or restitution. And he quotes that where a person is charged with an offence before the High Court or a regional tribunal, the commission of which he has caused economic loss, harm or damage to the state or any state agency, the accused may inform the prosecutor whether the accused admits the offence and is willing to offer compensation or make restitution and reparation for the loss, harm or damage caused. Where an accused makes an offer of compensation or restitution and reparation, the prosecutor shall consider if the offer is acceptable to the prosecution. Would want to understand whether or not this does not sit in the context of this particular provision. Without Kwame Ayimedu on the line, we'll be getting him shortly. But if you move on further on the same, Section 35 of the Act, it says if the offer is not acceptable, the prosecution acceptable to the prosecution of the case before the court, so the prosecution shall then proceed. It also talks about if the offer is acceptable to the prosecution, the prosecutor shall, in the presence of the accused, inform the court, which shall consider if the offer of the compensation or restitution and and reparation is satisfactory. So that is what the law says. We want to understand from the lawyers, what they do make of this as well. But let's listen to the AG again, giving reasons as to why that particular decision has been arrived at.
By the time I assumed office and was approached by the lawyers for the accused persons, no asset tracing had been undertaken and no freezing orders had been obtained by my predecessors who filed the criminal charges. I could have been faced with a situation where the thief would have eaten four of the goats, thus leaving me with only one possibility to recover only two goods. In other words, assets depreciate. Lastly, in respect of the case at hand, 100% recovery was not possible and a conviction was not guaranteed. In the circumstances, my team and I agreed to set a realistic threshold of 60% recovery. We recovered 824 million worth of assets, which will be handed over to the state, and establish a structured pathway for recovering the additional 1.2 billion Ghana cedis through the civil, process. And these are monies that are being held by third parties that owed Unibank, including, for instance, and I think that this is very important, contractors owed Unibank at the time that it was placed in administration, 2.9 billion Ghana cedis. Unibank made overtures to the state to say, look, the Minister of Finance, pay the contractors and let the contractors, because they will be paid through our bank, we can take the 2.9 billion and we can satisfy our books will, improve and we can stay afloat as a bank. The then Minister of Finance flatly rejected that and with the help of the Bank of Ghana, put Unibank into the situation in which we find ourselves.
We've been joined on the line by Alfred Tiayeboah, his former Deputy Attorney General. Grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Now, the Attorney General says he could have lost everything. The best decision, because assets depreciate, was to set a recovery threshold, and that's what they've done. What is wrong about this when the law gives or accepts this kind of arrangement to be made?
Thank you very much. It is not the case that recoveries are bad. As a prosecutor, if you are dealing with high color crimes, it is your expectation that even if you get conviction, you need to recover the cost of that crime. Now, in this particular case, the Attorney General has told us that it's a decision that if you are able to refund 60%, you will be forgiven 40%. That is where the problem lies. If, for example, the Attorney General has said that after considering the facts and looking at the circumstances of the case, the accused person had taken the advantage or they decided to take advantage of Section 35 of the False Act, or in the alternative, take advantage of the plea bargaining Act, that would have been different. But in a situation whereby this accused person, they have not been convicted, nothing of that sort, in a statement, they are also not guilty, but they are making a refund of 60%, and based on that, this issue happened. During our time, there wasn't any single occasion where we entered entry because an accused person agreed to refund 60% of the profits of the crime. Because in this particular case, there's even no actual recovery in terms of cash. As that is corrected, we are told that 800 million are in assets. We are also told that the remaining amount will be recovered by the other four and his team because other people owe them. So when they recover those amounts, they will be added and they will get everything. And so, if I were sitting in the shoes or in the seat of the Attorney General,
I will not in any way enter NPP based on such proposal, because from what we are reading, it appears that two persons in this particular case have more than one the offended state.
But his argument that, I mean, at a time when this whole decision was taken to press charges against Governor Dufour, his lawyers came to the government to say, we are owed by government contractors who are working for government up to the tune of some 2.9 billion cedis. And therefore, government could give us some time to recover all of these monies. I mean, was that not a strong reason enough for government to have looked at how to sustain the bank? And therefore, the bank says, or the AG says, because of that, because contractors that owe the government were owing the bank, we could then listen to their decision to say, let's pay 60% of it. You still say that all of that reason is not strong enough for the government to agree to the 60%.
This is what the AG is saying. I cannot confirm that the Foreign Finance Minister was told that 9.9 billion was with government contractors, and for that matter, if those monies were paid, they get maybe clear their balance sheet. But as prosecutors, what I know is that the amount of loss was 5.7 billion Ghana cedis. 5.7 billion Ghana. So granted, there's only 2.9 billion. How much was that? And who was going to pay the remaining amount? Today we are told that it's not 5.7 billion, but rather 3.3 billion.
That's the 60% of the amount, right?
The receiver who went through the books and who was appointed by the Bank of Ghana, after painstaking effort, came with these figures. What has changed? That now, I don't know, the receiver was involved in this new computation, but suddenly, 2.something billion, we are told, arose as a result of falsification of accounts. In any event, even if 2.2 or 2.1 billion came out as a result of falsification of accounts, that in itself is a crime. That in itself is a crime. That those who engage in that act ought to be charged and prosecuted.
But is the decision taken by the AG grounded in law?
In terms of his power to enter money possible, I cannot question it. Because that is the power entrusted to the Attorney General when it comes to prosecution of criminal matters. But it's only when the Attorney General chooses to offer reason for enter MP, that's all of us to now have the courage to also question the basis of that decision.
Well, but the Attorney General also says that the charges in the Unibank case were highly contestable, with a strong likelihood that the accused could have secured an acquittal by raising reasonable doubt in court. So, I mean, you disagree with the AG for raising this point, that instead of letting the case travel...
I disagree with the learned AG. Which offences are not contestable in court? It is only offences that accused people come and say, I'm guilty. Then there's no contest. But so far as an accused person says, I'm not guilty, it's contesting offenses. And it is the duty of the prosecution to prove the guilt of the accused person beyond reasonable doubt, which we have prepared ourselves to do. If the learned judge is now saying that those offenses were contestable and the state was likely to lose, then on what basis, if I may ask, did the accused person also offer to make this payment?
I'm sure you are aware of this case. Are you saying the case you had was strong enough to secure the state a conviction?
As a prosecutor, you were very convinced that we had a solid case. In fact, our star witness, who appears to be the receiver, had testified. And that person has also testified. But if you're a prosecutor, that is, you are thinking that you will win. But I cannot say we had 100%. But if the argument is being made that because the offense are contestable, the state was only going to win. Then the other case, because I know, that's why it comes to the back of the paper now, there are over 300 or 400 other cases, some of which are in court now, and they are on the same offense. Then all those cases, with due respect, the offense judge also has to enter empty, because those offenses are, the offenses are also contestable. Is this how we want to build our criminal system? No.
So would you encourage a minority that has served notice that it will go to court to do so?
There are questions that we may need answers from the AG and the receiver. There are questions. One, how come that the amount has broken from 5.7 billion or so to 8.3 billion? Two, did the receiver know at the time that we were in the office that amount was not indeed 5.7 by 3.3? Three, if you are looking at the amount, 3.3, and they say 2 billion is enough so that the accused person can walk away with 40%, who is going to pay the 40%? Because I'll be the last person to contest the Attorney General with regard to this decision by the individual. That act is an act that was has no effect. And I agree that when it comes to recovery, find out about the mood. How are we going to do such that other accused persons will not take issue and also keep the state? Because with this decision, I can bet my last point. The other case pending in the court, bringing out of the market sector cleanup, since they've been told that the offenses that we leveled against the people from the rest are contestable, that the state was not likely to succeed. None of them is willing to be negotiated with the state. They'll say, if I get left for this, they're not staying in court.
All right. Let's see how this case, goes on. But you are faulting the AG for that particular decision that they've taken. I'm grateful to you.
I disagree with you. Specifically, if nothing at all, at minimum, we can get 100. And if we are also lucky, if it's better for restitution, that is what we did when we were in office. It's either you pay all plus something, or you pay all and then you are set free. There are precedents. I know that you know there are precedents. This can grow some people where they need to pay 100%, but this understanding are in custody.
All right. I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Alfred Tiayeboa, he is a former Deputy Attorney General here, and you heard us speak to him. He says he disagrees with the AG for that particular decision. We have Adam Selen on the line. Adam, what do you make of this decision by the AG? Hello, Adam. Okay. Sorry, Adam. I want to find out from you what your thought is about the decision by the AG on this particular case. Hello, Adam.
Well, thank you. Yes, I can hear you. Can you?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear them. Apologies for that delay there. But that's all in Top Story today, brought to you by Telecel Connected Energies. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Up next is News Night.